Hi everyone, welcome back to the Simply Commercial podcast. I'm your host Ryan, and today I'm going to be exploring the fundamentals of mergers and acquisitions. These terms are mainly relevant to the US, however I will be sure to include how they are interpreted in England and Wales also. I aim to explore what these terms mean, why companies engage in mergers and acquisitions, and the potential consequences of such activities. So, to begin, we must firstly understand what a merger is. A merger can be defined as two existing companies voluntarily agreeing to join forces and, in the process, becoming an entirely new legal entity. A legal entity, in this case, refers to a company that possesses both legal rights and obligations. The original two companies will generally be equal in regards to their size, scale of operations, and customer base. Mergers have risen and fallen dramatically in frequency, specifically in the US, with these periods known as merger waves. The first wave was between 1897 to 1904, and the latest being the seventh wave, from 2011 onwards. However, even before the first wave, mergers were taking place, with the East India Company merging with a former competitor as early as 1708. Now let's examine how two companies could actually go about merging. Let's say that Company 1 and Company 2 want to merge together to create Company 3. In theory, if this was a merger of equals, Company 1 and Company 2 would confer their stocks to those of Company 3. The directors of Company 1 and Company 2 will approve of this and will seek the approval of shareholders. Shareholders of both merging Company 1 and Company 2 would receive the same value of shares in Company 3 that they owned in either of the original companies. However, this is very rare, and what usually results would actually be an acquisition. Typically, Company 1 and Company 2 will agree for Company 1 to buy the stock of Company 2 from their shareholders. Those shareholders in Company 2 will then receive shares in Company 1 instead, which is not a true merger, as Company 1 has actually acquired the stock of Company 2, subsequently acquiring Company 2. There are many types of mergers, and the specific variation could be determined by the relationship between the parties involved. In regards to how the relationship can affect the type of merger, there are six different variations. The first of these is known as a vertical merger. This is where a customer merges with a company, or a company merges with a supplier. An example would be an orange farm merging with an orange juice bottling plant. A horizontal merger is where two companies that are in competition with one another and share the market and products choose to merge. An example of such a merger would be Orange Farm 1 merging with Orange Farm 2. Congeneric mergers occur where two businesses that serve the same customer but in different ways merge together. An example could be a smartphone manufacturer merging with a phone network company that provides coverage to phone users. A product extension merger involves the uniting of two companies that sell different but related products in the same market. This took place in 2002, when Broadcom, who manufactured Bluetooth systems, merged with Mobilink Telecom Incorporated, who supplied chips and designed mobiles. Conversely, a market extension merger is where two companies that sell the same products but in different markets choose to merge. For example, a pizza restaurant in Canada could choose to merge with a pizza restaurant in the US. Finally, a conglomeration occurs when two companies with no common areas of business choose to merge. Such an example could be a car manufacturer choosing to merge with a supplier of balloons, for instance. However, even though mergers may appear to dramatically strengthen a company's standing, this is not always the case. In 2000, the largest merger ever occurred when America Online, better known as AOL, merged with Time Warner. This deal was said to be worth $360 billion, with AOL becoming the largest technology company in America after the merger. However, with the collapse of the dot-com bubble, the merger proved unsuccessful, and the companies chose to once again go their separate ways after less than 10 years united. So, why do companies choose to merge in the first place, and what can the unintended consequences be? There are a number of key advantages that can accompany a merger. By merging, companies may be able to bulk buy raw materials, which is known as achieving economies of scale. As a consequence, this can further result in a reduction of costs within the business, and therefore lower prices for customers. As a result of merging, the new company will also gain a larger market share, and potentially even monopoly power. This is defined in the UK as having more than 25% of the market share. A global presence can also be an advantage of merging. If two companies merge from different countries, they can dramatically expand their geographical range. However, there can be some downsides when a merger occurs. Typically, a merger will reduce competition in a certain market and grant the new company a larger market share. This is good news for the company. However, this may allow them to gain a monopoly and consequently increase their prices, having a negative impact upon consumers. If the new company has been able to expand geographically, this may also lead to inefficient communication between branches, negatively impacting upon the efficiency of the business. In some mergers, it may be decided that there is no longer a need to keep on as many staff, meaning that employees will suddenly find themselves unemployed. As I said earlier, the term mergers and acquisitions is more heavily linked to the US. In practice, in England and Wales, there is no such thing as a merger. There is either a share purchase or an asset purchase. In a share purchase, the buyer, let's call them Company 1, acquires the target company, Company 2, with all of its assets, employees and contracts. However, Company 1 is also handed the liabilities and obligations of that company. Regarding an asset purchase, only specific assets and liabilities that the buyer, Company 1, agrees to are gained, and the remainder typically remains in the possession of Company 2. The company whose assets are being acquired must obtain approval from its shareholders. However, under UK law, employees will usually transfer automatically to the buyer, Company 1, on their current contracts. In the widely used term of M&A, the A represents a process known as acquisitions. An acquisition is when one company, Company 1, purchases most or all of another company's shares, Company 2, granting them control over Company 2. By purchasing more than 50% of Company 2's stock and other assets, Company 1 is able to make decisions regarding the newly acquired assets without the approval of Company 2's other shareholders. As previously discussed, acquisitions can be differentiated depending upon whether shares or only assets have been purchased. In addition to this, they can be further specified depending on whether all of the parties are in agreement to the process or not. A friendly acquisition occurs when the firm being purchased agrees to be acquired, meaning that its board of directors approves of the acquisition. During these acquisitions, there is often cooperation towards the mutual benefit of both companies. Once both parties agree to the terms and fulfil any legal obligations, the purchase will proceed. Contrastingly, some acquisitions are unfriendly and are usually labelled hostile takeovers. These occur when the target company does not consent to the acquisition. There is also another category of acquisition that is unlike the aforementioned. This is referred to as a management acquisition, which is also known as a management-led buyout. In such an acquisition, the executives of a company purchase a controlling stake in another company, taking it private. The majority of shareholders must approve of an acquisition of this nature. This occurred in 2013 when Dell Corporation announced that it had been acquired by its founder, Michael Dell. There have been many notable acquisitions over the years, however the largest ever was back in 1999 when Vodafone AirTouch PLC acquired Mannersman for $183 billion, or $284 billion when the figure is adjusted for inflation. The advantages and disadvantages of an acquisition are very similar to that of a merger. The advantages usually centre around a desire to increase market share, and the negative impacts concern pricing, unemployment, and inefficient communication. Aside from mergers and acquisitions, there are other terms under the M&A umbrella that are less well known. A consolidation creates a new company by combining core businesses and discarding the original corporate structures. Stockholders of both companies must approve of the consolidation. After their approval, they will receive shares in the new firm. This actually occurred in 1998 when Citicorp and Travelers Insurance Group announced a consolidation resulting in Citigroup being formed. Another term is a tender offer. In such a deal, Company 1 will offer to buy outstanding stock of Company 2 at a specific price rather than the market price. Company 1 will communicate this offer to the other shareholders of Company 2, which bypasses both the management and board of directors. This was witnessed in 2008 when Johnson & Johnson made a tender offer to acquire Omrix Biopharmaceuticals for $438 million. Although the acquiring company may continue to exist, most tender offers do eventually result in mergers. With the number of mergers and acquisitions falling by 49% in the first half of 2020 due to the impact of COVID-19, it was apparent how badly businesses' expansion plans had been hit. However, with over 4.8 billion people having already received their first dose of the vaccine, it would not be surprising if thriving companies seek to acquire those that have struggled as a result of the pandemic, and the frequency of such deals return to pre-COVID levels.